seem to be blinded by what I can't see. And what lies before me? Then Jesus comes and he says, my child, I'm here. Hold on. When the dark of night surrounds and loneliness and emptiness invade my heart, and there's no one to guide me, Jesus comes and he says, my child, hold on. Hold on through the dark times. Hold on though the way seems too long.
All right, thank you, ladies. Haven't you enjoyed the song service this morning? The congregational singing, the choir special, the trio special? Man, I'm telling you, I sat there while these ladies were thinking, and I was thinking, boy, I'm telling you, can you remember back prior to salvation when you were nothing? Absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. But he was able to save us and take nothing and make something out of our lives. So when he was able to take nothing and make something, that means you went from being a nobody to a somebody. So don't tell me we're not somebody. We are somebody. But it's all because of Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bible, if you would, this morning, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 13. We're going to read down through Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. The message is going to go right along in line with the song service this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the impossible escape. The impossible escape. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, would you stand with me? We're going to begin reading there. and read down through chapter 2 and verse number 3. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?'" Question mark. Because he never did. He says, "Are they all ministering, are not they all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That's us. He says, "Now, therefore," that's the reason we read those previous two verses. He says, "Because of what I just told you, because we are heirs of salvation," he says, "therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them," or heard him. And I want to take these verses this morning, and we're going to just kind of dissect verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, and for the message this morning, the impossible escape. Now, Father, we do ask you this morning to fill this building with the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, we came today because we want to open the Word of God up. We want to find something, a nugget that we can take home with us and help us, Lord, to build our families and exhort the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you assembled this congregation together that we might exhort one another and encourage one another as we see the day approaching. We ask now that you do a great work in this time that we have together this morning and teach us, we pray, from the Scriptures. And we'll be careful to give you the glory in all things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, this is going to be a little bit unusual because the actual message is not going to be till the very end, all right? Several years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess it's been now, maybe a little bit longer, my wife and I took a trip out to San Francisco. Now, there's a lot of things I didn't like about San Francisco, but there's a lot of things I did like about San Francisco. And one of the things that we did when we went out there is we took a trip out to Alcatraz Island. If you've ever been there, you understand where I'm talking about. And, of course, one of the things that I regret is I wore summer clothes in May, and we like froze to death. But anyway, we went out to Alcatraz Island, and we took a tour out there, and you can take a guided tour, self-guided tour, you can take a guided tour, either one. And Alcatraz has a reputation of being the only prison that has not allowed anyone to escape. Now, you can go read all about Alcatraz all you want. They've never found anybody. There's been a lot of people tried, but no evidence that anybody ever succeeded. But Alcatraz was one of those places that they put people that maybe hardened criminals, and they have names on all the cells out there. Al Capone was there, and some other guys were there. And many of you remember the old days of the Birdman of Alcatraz. All of those types of guys, all those hardened criminals, they put them there because they felt it was invincible. It was impossible to escape from Alcatraz Island. I want to tell you this morning, dear friend, that it is impossible for you and I to escape if we neglect so great salvation. We shall not escape a meeting with your God. And you and I will come into accountability about that salvation one day, whether we've accepted it or whether we have not accepted it. It is impossible to get away from escaping your destiny with God. The passage of Scripture that we've read this morning, you know, certain passages of Scripture kind of reveal a wealth of information to us. And a lot of times in order to understand God's will in those verses and His position that He's described to us in those verses, sometimes you have to dissect those verses. And that's what we're going to spend a little time doing this morning. And in this particular passage of Hebrews chapter 2, the subject that we're giving here is the subject of salvation is being addressed in a very unique way. Now, the Holy Spirit approaches this passage not from the angle of how to be saved, but He approaches it from an angle, rather from the angle of what salvation is and what it means. You see, this morning, there's two types of people here this morning. There's those that believe, and there's those that do not believe. There's those that have been saved, and there are those that have not been saved. There are those that are genuine, and there are frauds. There's frauds everywhere, fakes everywhere. You see, the Holy Spirit builds to the main point, which we'll find here is contained in verse number 3. But the previous verses kind of set the tone for the main body of the message. Now, I want you to look in verse number 1. He starts off in verse number 1. He says, therefore, speaking of the instructions and the information that he gave us in the previous verses, and the very last thing that he mentioned in verse number 13, or verse number 14 in Hebrews chapter 1 is, he says, who shall be heirs of salvation? You know, if we've been born into the family of God, we are not only heirs, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he says, now, because we're heirs, therefore, what he's telling us here, that word just simply means, for this reason, considering the facts of the previous statements. He says, now, considering the facts that we are heirs of salvation, he says, therefore, we ought to. Now, he didn't say that those of us that have been born again would. He said, but you ought to. Can I say something to you? There's a lot of things we ought to do that we don't do. There's a lot of scripture that we ought to practice that we don't practice. You see, there's a lot of things in the Christian life that we ought to do, but we don't do. And he says, therefore, that because we're heirs of salvation, he says we ought to. He says it would be to your advantage. It's the right way to go. He says you ought to do it. Doesn't mean that we will. Just means that we ought to because it's the right thing to do. He says, therefore, he says, for this reason, it is to your advantage. He says we ought to give the more earnest heed. I want you to circle or underline those words, earnest heed. He says it's to our advantage that we ought to give the more earnest heed. In other words, a longing desire to observe or to give attention to. Say, give attention to what? He says, give the more earnest heed to the things. You know, there's a lot of the Bible can follow under the category of things. You see, he didn't have time to go ahead and list out because he had already given us a complete canon of Scripture. He says that we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things. What things? Well, how about the promise of God that he would provide redemption for man? That he gave us right in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And then we know that the prophets of old confirmed that through the ages. And then when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. And there in Bethlehem's manger was born the Son of God, virgin born. You say, what does that have a meaning? If Jesus wasn't virgin born, listen to me, you and I are hopeless this morning. It took the virgin born Son of God to purchase your salvation. Hey, we ought to take heed to the things that we've learned. Hey, how about the confirmation of Jesus' ministry and his purpose? Say, who confirmed Jesus' ministry? Well, at his baptism, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what that was? That's called confirmation. God confirmed, this is my Son. This is the only way. That's the reason in John 14, 6, Jesus had all the authority to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wasn't just saying that flippantly. He had the authority to say it. Why? Because he was confirmed by God. Hey, we ought to take heed, earnest heed, to the things that we've heard. How about the miracles and healings he performed? How about those that he raised from the dead? Hey, we ought to take heed to the things that we've learned about that silly mock trial that they put Jesus through. How about his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection? How about Jesus' preparation of a place? Because we're heirs of salvation, he's gone to prepare a place for us. And if he's gone to prepare a place for us, his promise is, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, folks, listen to me. In our day and time, you know what we ought to do? We need to take heed to the things. To the things. You see, how about Jesus' promise to return, judge the world, set up his earthly kingdom in which all the heirs shall be a part. Jesus promised to destroy death, the grave, hell, and the devil. Hey, you know what? Those all fall under things. He says we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You say, why, preacher? He says, lest at any time, early in salvation, older in salvation, at the end of your life. We need to take earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them, what does your Bible say? That we let them slip, we forget. We let them pass by us like they're nothing. We no longer, when the blood of Christ is preached on, no longer do we say amen. When the cross of Christ is preached on, no longer does anybody get excited about it. Why? Because we've let them slip. We've stopped taking earnest heed to the things. Hey, folks, Christianity is full of good things. And sometimes we don't take earnest heed. We don't listen. We let them pass us by like they mean nothing. Hey, let me tell you something. Without the cross of Christ, we're lost. Without the blood of Christ, we're lost. Without the virgin-born Son of God, we're lost. Without the resurrection, we're lost. Those things we need to take earnest heed, lest at any time we let them slip. These things mean anything to you this morning? When we come to church, you say, well, preacher just preached on, well, what'd your preacher preach on this Sunday? Oh, he just preached on the blood. What'd your preacher preach on? Oh, he just preached on salvation. What did the preacher preach on? Oh, he just talked about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I've heard it 100 times. Well, get used to it because you're going to hear it for all eternity. Hey, we might as well get prepped and prompt and ready to hear it because we're going to hear it for all eternity. He says, lest we let them slip. He said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, in other words, not fluctuating nor yielding to circumstances, he says, and every transgression and disobedience, each and all, without exception, without regard, transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, he says, every transgression, every disobedience will receive a suitable and proper payment. Everyone. Every single one. And then he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, what I want to do is I want to take these verses, this last verse, which is the body of Paul's message here, and I want to kind of take and reverse it in reverse order and go and let's just take a look at the very thing that he says, if we neglect it, how shall we escape? He says, it's not just salvation, folks. The Holy Spirit says it's great salvation. Wait a minute. He said it's so great salvation. He said it's to an extent beyond what you can comprehend. He said it cost God his only begotten Son. If you've ever lost a child, you understand what I'm talking about. He said to the extent God gave his only begotten Son to die for the sin of the entire world. He said, it's not just salvation, my friend. It's a wonderful, it's supreme, it's to a great extent salvation. You say, what makes salvation, preacher, so great? Well, how about because we got a great God? You say, where does the Bible say that? Well, according to Psalm chapter 48, verse number 1, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You know why salvation is so great? Because it comes from a great God who's supreme over all. And so anything he does, if it comes from a great God, it's got to be. So that's the reason he says, how shall we escape? if we neglect so great, to the maximum extent, wonderful salvation. I don't know about you folks, I don't ever get tired of hearing about salvation. You say, well, you ought to. We need to go and get deeper in the Word. You ain't going to get deeper in salvation and born again. You see, he said, that's our problem. Our problem is we get sidetracked on so many other things. We forget salvation. That's the reason we let all these other things slip. Because we've neglected the very essence of who we are. The reason it's so great a salvation is because we serve a great God. You know, Jude tells us in Jude chapter 3, you know, here we find Paul says it's a great salvation. Jude describes it as common salvation. That means whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's common. That means when Jesus died on the cross, he died in advance knowing every one of your sins, knowing every situation you'd be in. There's not a person here that can't be saved. Not possible. Because he died for all. Jude said it's a common salvation. Hey, may I say to you also, Paul, we don't have time to go there, in Hebrews chapter 5, said not only is it a great salvation, and here we have, Jude said it's common salvation. Paul said again in Hebrews chapter 5, it's eternal salvation. Hey, that means forever, my friend. Oh, I love to say this. I love it. Because I didn't used to believe this years ago before I got saved. Once saved, always saved. Amen! You know why? Because salvation's not dependent upon you. It's not dependent upon this church. It's dependent on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's who my faith is in. It's not in the church. It's not in the preacher. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's a great salvation. It's so great. You know why? Because it's a common salvation. It's eternal salvation. It's a great salvation. Paul said again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, he says, not only is it a great salvation, it's a common salvation. Anybody can be saved. Hey, he said it's eternal once you get it. But he says, you know what? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, but there's going to have to be a day of salvation. Okay, there's going to have to be a day in which salvation comes to your house. You know why? Because he's a great God. Not only is it a great salvation because we serve a great God, but also we have a God that is of great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us. He didn't say it was just any love. He said it was supreme love. Great love. You know why he has great love? Because he's a great God. You know why our salvation is great? Because he's a great God. And so when a great God decides he's going to extend love, it's not just any love, it's great love. And when he decided to extend salvation, it's not just any salvation, it's great salvation. It's supreme. You see, it's not only great because we serve a great God and because he has great love, but when God put together the redemption of man, it was from a great God who had great love, and then he formulated a great plan. It's a great plan. It was a plan that was going to make its way down through time. And all through that plan, you know who has been trying to thwart the plan of God for thousands of years? He's tried hard. Hey, he tried in the Garden of Gethsemane to try to get Jesus to deter from going to the cross, but he didn't. Hey, listen, while people walked by and said, if you be the Son of God, come down from that cross, save yourself and us. Trying to get him to prove who he was. He didn't prove who he was. He'd already stated who he was. You see, it was a great plan. A virgin-born Son of God. The incarnation of God in human flesh. Unscathed by temptation. Unhurt by Satan. Unscathed by sin. And he became sin for us. Crucified, buried, resurrected, debt paid. one day we're going to be reunited forever. You know what? It was a great plan. It was a great plan. And hey, I got some news for you. You know what? It worked. His plan worked. Now, some of you here today that may be without the Lord, and you say, did Jesus, is he the Savior? Let me tell you today, the plan worked. It worked like a charm. And can I say to you this morning, you can come this morning, get in on the plan. Why? Because it's a great salvation. It's a great love. It was a great plan, and it worked just like God planned it. The reason it's a great salvation is great love involved, because he's a great God. It was a great plan, and he did all of this because there was a great problem. You ever had big problems? Let me show you a problem. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Man, we had a huge, huge problem. That's the reason a great God with great love formulated a great plan, because man had a great problem. And that problem, according to Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon how many? It's a great problem. It doesn't just involve me. It involves all of us. That's a big problem. Right? Oh yeah, got a big problem. He said, no, it's no bigger than the economy today. Oh, it's way bigger than the economy. It's way greater than the economy. He said, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know what our problem was? Sin. So you know what a great God did? A great God formulated, out of his great love, formulated a great plan, a great salvation, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, what's so great about that? Come on this morning, let me show you back, because if you're questioning about it, you may not have it. Amen. Hey, you know what? Because if it's great to, listen, God's formulated a plan that's worked like a charm. And that great problem of sin this morning, that great salvation, listen to me, can save the worst of people. The worst of people. It can transform the worst of habits. You say, oh, preacher, I'm in bondage to a habit. Come on down this morning. That great salvation can do something about that habit. You know why? Because it's of a great God. That great salvation can transform the worst of habits. It can receive the worst of backsliders. It can restore the worst of failures. It can comfort the worst of tragedies. You know, many times in adversity and tragedy in life, many times I'll just go in a quiet place and just recount salvation. Just think about being saved. Because the Scripture said, I'm an heir. I'm an heir. You see, a lot of times we get, don't we get tunnel vision? We get focused on what's going on right here. We get stuck. We get time warped into what's happening, thinking that this is it. It's not it, folks. We're heirs of salvation. That's the reason it's a so great salvation. Now, look at that verse again. Going backwards now, he said, it's so, it's to the extreme, it's wonderful, it's supreme, it's an incredible salvation. But he says, oh my goodness, what if we neglect it? What if we omit it? What if we don't give attention to it? What if we fail to receive it or embrace it? We got trouble, don't we? Because I've already explained, God says, it's great. It's a great salvation. And you know what? I told you there's two types of people. Saved people, lost people. Believers, unbelievers. Those in the family of God, those outside the family of God. And may I say to you, this neglect is not talking about those outside the family of God. It's talking just as much to us inside the family of God. Hey, what's going to happen if we neglect so great salvation? Well, can I say to you, there's some here this morning just neglected out of ignorance. Now, I didn't say people were dumb and stupid. There's a big difference between ignorance and stupidity. I said out of ignorance. They just don't know. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I was in church on and off for 18 years of my life. Went on and off to church. Wasn't a Baptist church. You know what my biggest problem was? I didn't listen. Yeah, I didn't listen. You see, I was just flat out ignorant of what salvation was. You say, well, preacher, why was you ignorant? It might have had something to do with not reading the Bible. You see, the thing about it is I had never read the Bible through. I had never read and compared what I was hearing to what Jesus said. And a lot of times when you make the comparison, you'll find out Jesus comes up on top. Every time. See, some just neglect it out of ignorance. They just don't know. You see, there are some this morning that are here, you just don't know how to be saved. You thought it was through the church membership, or you thought it was through baptism, or you thought it was living a good life. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with church, with baptism, or living right. But those are not the foundation nor the essence of salvation. You say, well, I thought we were supposed to serve. Yeah, you don't serve to be saved, you serve because you're saved. Boy, I'm telling you, this just, and it's just so simple. If we just get a hold of this, we'd go nuts, wouldn't we? If we could just get a hold of the simplicity of the Bible. But some here this morning just don't know. No one's ever showed you. You've never, ever had someone explain to you about that great salvation. Some are just here and neglect it through ignorance. Hey, there's some born-again believers here this morning, a bunch of born-again believers this morning that just neglect so great salvation because you just... You got saved, you got baptized, you just didn't know what to do after that. Okay, what do I do now? What am I supposed to do now? Now, I want you to listen to me, Trinity Baptist Church. Do you know, as a member of this church, it's our responsibility to make sure that we fulfill the Great Commission, and it's more than just going and baptizing. That last part he says, and teach, disciple them, instruct them of what they're supposed to do. Now they've received that great salvation. Hey, connected with that great salvation is a great life. It's a great life. Wouldn't change it for anything and all the money in the world. See, some have just neglected it. Lost. Neglected because they just don't know how to be saved. Hey, there's believers here today that just neglected out of ignorance because they just don't know what to do now. They don't know how to live a separated life for Christ. They don't know what it means to read through their Bible. They don't know what it means to have a devotion time or a prayer time. Whose job is that? Job of the church. And we ought to be doing that. Oh, yeah. We ought to be helping one another grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. You see, some neglected our ignorance. Some neglected through iniquity, just engulfed in sin. Boy, sin's got a hold of so many people, just throws a bag over your head and ties a knot. Gets a hold of people, doesn't it? Hey, some people neglect that great salvation because they're blinded. They're blinded. Hey, folks, if you're here this morning without Christ, what we're trying to do, we're trying to rescue you. Hey, we're throwing out a lifeline. There you go. Grab a hold of it. We'll reel you in. Somebody threw one out to me one day, and I thought, you know what? I better take this. Because if I don't, I'm going down. So I grabbed a hold of that, and man, I'm telling you, a soul winner reeled me in. I was going, glory to God. You know what? You're great. You're a great individual. You know why? Because it's a great God. Great salvation. You know why I was neglecting it? I was neglecting it through ignorance. I was neglecting it through iniquity. Sin just had blinded me. Sin had just engulfed me. Some have neglected so great a salvation through indignation. So what are you talking about, preacher? Mad at people. So our normal response is we get mad at people, then we get mad at God. Because, by the way, God made people, didn't he? And so if the people hurt me, it's God's fault. Amen. See, we neglect it because of anything. We get mad at people. Oh, yeah. You say, oh, you're talking about Christian people get mad? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they get mad. And not just mad at somebody that pulls out in front of them. They get mad at folk at church. You say, well, they get mad, old Brother Todd. Oh, just silly. Just, you know, important stuff like somebody sitting in your seat. Just little things like that. We better get on off of that, right? Neglect through anger. Just get people get mad at people. Then they get mad at God. Then they get mad at the church. Because, by the way, God made people. So it's if I'm mad at people, I got to be mad at God, and God started the church, so I got to be mad at the church too, don't we? You see how our perverted thinking goes? And see, what we do is we neglect the so great salvation. Hey, you know what? That salvation ought to cause us to overlook these little minor things. You say, but they offended me. Then you know what the Bible tells you to do for them? Go give them a gift. Heap coals of fire on their head. You say, what are they going to do? Nothing. They don't know what to do. You know what? Because what you're doing is you're exemplifying Christianity. No, we're not going to do that. Because when we get mad at people. Then we get mad at God. Then we get mad at church. And then guess what? The logical thing is just get mad at the preacher now. We might as well just cover the whole gamut. So we get mad at everybody. And let me tell you what's going to happen when you do that. You're going to neglect the greatest gift that God's ever given to mankind. You're going to neglect so great salvation. So what's the end result here, preacher? Well, let's look at the third thing quickly. It's not just salvation, it's a great salvation. And it's so great salvation. But what happens if we neglect it? What happens if we just let it pass by? What happens if we don't embrace it and give it no attention? And then he says, how shall we escape? Where are you going to go to get away from God? Psalm 139 says, you can go to the top of the mountain. You know what? Behold, I am there. You can go to the depths of the sea, and behold, I'm there. He said, it don't matter where you go. I'm going to find you. Because as a believer, you know what? You can't run from God because he's inside you. And everywhere you go, he goes. Because the Holy Ghost of God lives in you. So the question is, how are we going to escape? Listen, folks, it's impossible to escape. You are not going to escape so great salvation. You see, how are we going to go undetected or avoid or get away from it? We're not. Proverbs 15:3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. No matter where we go, we cannot escape the eyes and the face of God. You can't escape your conscience. Because you know what? Everybody in here knows the difference between right and wrong. And every time you do wrong, saved or lost, you know what your conscience says? Wrong. It tells you it's wrong. Your conscience tells you. You say, where did I get that from? God. Yeah, that's the reason there ain't no such thing as atheists. Let me say that again. That's the reason there ain't no such thing as atheists. You have to study to become one. You weren't born that way. You know why? Because the Bible, listen, I can prove it from the Bible. We just ain't got time. But I'm just telling you that, listen, God says every person has the knowledge of God. Everyone. So a person has to train themselves not to believe in God. But even when they do, you know what their conscience tells them when they go to bed at night? Can't get away from your conscience. It convicts. It condemns. It communicates. It's constantly calling. Hello? Hello, it's me again. Oh, it's conscience again. Please go away. You make me feel bad. Oh, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to make you feel bad because you ought to be loving and serving God. Don't you understand? He's provided so great a salvation for you. Now, here's the last thing to think about. How shall we escape our conscience? But may I say, how shall we escape judgment, accountability? May I say to you this morning for every believer, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us, every born-again believer one day will face your Creator. And you and I will give an account. We will give an account about so great a salvation. We're going to give an account of ourselves and our works, whether they be good or bad. No excuses. I wonder if God at that judgment seat is going to say, boy, let me just rewind here. Let me show you exactly what happened on that day when I took upon myself your sins. Oh, no, Lord, please, I don't want to see it. No. Look up here. Let's review. Because it was not just salvation. not just great salvation, it was so great of salvation. You see, how shall we escape the judgment seat of Christ? We won't. But may I say to you in conclusion this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, the book of the Revelation tells us and describes another judgment that every person who rejects this great salvation shall stand both small and great before a great white throne. Sitting upon that great white throne will be your judge. Did you read it just a moment ago? He says that every transgression and every disobedience receives a just recompense reward. In other words, we will get what is coming according to the law, according to the command of God. And that great white throne, my dear friend, I promise you, you do not want to be there. Because there will be eternal life waiting for you as well, but without God, in a place called hell and the lake of fire that will be waiting for your soul. And there, the Bible says, all of humanity that did not put their faith in Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. But regardless of the fact, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? We're not. We're not going to escape accountability. We will come into accountability. And the Lord tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh yes, every knee one day will bow. And we'll look upon our Creator and say, oh man, I'm telling you, this is not just salvation. This is not great salvation. This is so great. May I say to you, heaven's going to be so great. God, when we see Him for the first time, it's going to be so great. Right? It's going to be beyond anything you comprehend. But it is impossible to escape. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my home. I've been born into the family of God. Slip your hand up as a testimony before the Lord. You say, that's me, that's me, that's me, preacher. I'm not ashamed of it. I've been saved, been born into the family of God. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father.